Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you, Lord. The Word of God that you have given as a guide, a light, as comfort, and as direction for those that you have loved from eternity. To come into your word this morning, we ask, Lord, that you bless us and cause us to rise and do exceedingly those things according to your blessed will. Bless us as we look into the word of God, as we move through the message, the glorious body of Christ, the church. Each one will come to understand the blessed position and the graciousness of you, and that which you have performed for those that you have designated. Now, I touch my body this morning and bless these lips of clay, bless us in this hour. So we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. This morning we go into the second half of our dissertation as we move into the final portions of our more than 3 or 4 months now, I guess more than that. Oh my God, such an awesome, 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 amen, focus, the body of Christ, my Lord, throughout all eternity, information will yet be coming to light. We don't know but just a small portion, just a glimpse, not even an increment of that which God has certainly provided for those whom he has loved. Loved us,
yeah.
And he provided for us even before we were created. Before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the world, before there was anything, amen. God's first order of business, the body of Christ. Oh my Lord. Of course you have to go into our gospel. The wondrous message that was hid for generations and hid for ages, and none knew it, and none had the inklings of what God had done. Basically, because he did it in an era when he was all by himself. There was nobody around for him to consult with, or even converse with about it. Amen. In the eternal sphere, amen. That's where all of the action is. And I know that basically what is taught is prioritized and focused on the realm of time and the sphere of time. Amen. Basically, this is where many of us major in the essence of time. And of course, I understand that, because this is where we are right now. look around and this is reality. Oh my God. But when you look, brother, into the essence of the gospel, the grace of God, when you look into the message of the mystery,
yes.
Amen. It takes us into the real world.
Yes.
What's real should be predicated on what's going to be around. If it's not everlasting, it's not real. It's like vapor. You see the smoke, and then the smoke dissipates and disappears, and then it is no longer. This is what this life is right now. Amen. Many do not understand that it is for the purpose of manifestation only. That no, there are no decisions being made. God is not determining anything in the sphere of time. And for God's sake, don't ever fall into the mindset of thinking that God is reacting to what we do, to what men do. Amen. But when you look into the message of that which we have focused on for now several outings, the subject here is the glorious body of Christ. The subject matter, the most important thing concerning you is where you have been placed and positioned. That is in the body of Christ. It is the only place of security. Amen. I know many sing the song "Safe and Secure from All Alarm," but they're not singing it from the vantage point of the heavenly, of the vertical. They're singing it from the vantage point of the things that are around us. And as long as things are around us seemingly secure, we feel secure. Amen. Seemingly, if things are safe around us, we feel safe. But all we should realize that for those whom He has loved, He has chosen, He has called, there is a place of serenity, place of peace, place of blissfulness, a place of joy, a place of everlasting abode where nothing can ever disturb it, come against it. There are no interruptions in that which God has decreed. You all don't hear me this morning. And placed out in the view of those whom He has chosen to understand it and to comprehend it. And if you are able to view the glorious body of Christ this morning, you are blessed. God has helped, yes, even those of us who are saved, all do not understand, all cannot comprehend. God's people don't know what the church is. We think it's a building, it's an organization, it is a group of people that's organized for the purpose of doing something here, basically, to better the plight of mankind. And I'm not saying that there aren't any avenues wherein we can do some things that God has basically allowed the church to participate in, to do. Amen. But if you are ever into the essence of seeing it the way that it is outlined, and you look at the directives that are given to the church, they are all inward, not outward. Amen. The work of the ministry is not the saving of the world. Amen. God has already taken care of who is saved. It's not to rebuke the world. That's God's job. It's not to chastise the world. That's God's job. Not to correct the world. That's God's job.
Yes.
Amen. But our gospel tells us that he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachings. Amen. For correcting the political world. No, no, no. Amen. He gave it for what? That's right. Amen. For the work of the ministry. Everybody said, well, that's what we're doing. No, no, no. He explains what the work of the ministry is. It is the edifying of the body of Christ. So the focus must be on the body of Christ. And so the ministry of the church, amen, hallelujah, is to build it up, amen, and the edifying, amen, and the contributions to the body of Christ. Now, in the first half, we started out. Again today, we shall always read the beginning verses, chapter 3, Galatians, verses 26 to 29. And in addition to that, we went into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, and then we went into Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Amen. And basically, what we have dealt with up to this point is the focus on the recipients who are members of his body. But everybody worth is invested in the head. Amen. in the brain center. And this is why we're going to deal with this for the next several hours. We're going to get this business straight, amen, about the Trinity. And we just it just leaves the church open for those who would criticize the essence of what the true Godhead represents. And you notice I said Godhead, singular. Amen. Not Godhead. There's only one intelligent center. God is not three persons. Amen. We shall basically deal with that. Amen. All right, let's go to the third chapter. As we begin this morning, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. And then after that, Hallelujah, woman is our designated reader. We shall go into Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And of course, we won't get through with all of that today. As I said, thank God I always get a chance to come back the next week. But let's begin in a base scripture, verse 25, 26 rather, of the third chapter of Galatians. Everybody got to say amen.
Yeah.
All right. Read or read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
For you are all the children of God. Amen. Now here, basically, he is speaking concerning those who have been called and placed into some positions. Amen. And it is by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And of course, here in the King James, it reads, by faith in Jesus Christ, and that is erroneously taught, and this is why at the end of the service today, and shall be on our website, very forcefully come out with a position, a doctrinal position on eternal justification. Amen. It is not faith in Jesus Christ that spurred, that is the catalyst of your salvation or your justification. Amen. It is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. It is efficacious work as the propitiation, the sacrifice. Amen. That is the basis of justification. God doesn't just declare you legally, He made you righteous.
Yes.
Amen. And to make you righteous, He had to do something with the sin problem. All right, another matter we'll take up another time. All right, keep reading. Verse 27.
Verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ,
mm-hmm,
have put on Christ.
All right, here we understand this baptism. Baptizo is identification. Identification. To be identified, we put on Christ. We have put on Christ. The aorist tense is according to the essence of identification. We have put on, we have identified with what God did in eternity. Amen. All right, read.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
We are all one in the essence of Christ. All right, last verse.
And if ye be Christ,
mm-hmm,
then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
I think everyone understands now that is the promise of justification by and through the faithfulness of Christ's work, of the work that He performed in eternity and was manifested upon Calvary. Again, as we said, there are many who do not understand what the church is, that it is a spiritual body. The manifestation of organizations, of course, of depictions, amen, for the sake of testimony in the realm of time, of what God has done, amen. But the body of Christ,
yes,
is a spiritual domicile, amen.
Yes.
The earthly body is a natural one,
right,
amen. And, of course, you can use an analogous illustration here. As the natural body and the parts and the functions of which we have gone through, amen, basically, just from that crude example, we realize that every individual body part is accountable to obey the head.
Yes.
The same holds true in the spiritual body, the church.
Yes.
Each member is accountable directly to Christ.
Yes.
And each member's life is drawn from Him. There's no chain of command where one member reports to another, thank God, in a corporate mode, who in turn, and this is how many perceive the church, and this is why you have hierarchies of offices, and of course they misuse the functioning capacity of what God has assigned to the local assembly and deacons and bishops, amen. It is not to lord over God's people. To pastor means to feed, not to lord over, amen. Because each member reports directly to the head, amen. What is true in the natural body, that the life, that life is distributed throughout member to member, and if the flow of life is cut off to any one member, we'll perish. But we must remember, amen, that in the body of Christ we receive this flow of life directly from the source. So if your brother falls in front of you, amen, it does not affect the flow, amen, of virtue and the flow of strength to you, amen. This is not to say that we live for irrespective and desensitized toward one another. No, when one hurt, all should hurt, amen. But as far as life is concerned, we receive the flow of our existence, and it is dependent upon the head. So then, we receive life through the functions of the church as our authority always comes to us directly from the head. Amen. We gave an example, I give it again, of the finger that receives the command to move from the head. Yet the finger is attached to the base of the hand. Amen. And of course, you can severely cause problems for the finger if something happens to the hand. For the blood flows through the hand to the finger. And if we pinch off this life flow, interrupting it between the hand and the finger will die. But we as members of the body of Christ, though we are co-joined to each other and we are under the authority of the head, it is the head, as I've said, which imparts to all the ongoing spiritual life. The health and the power, hear me this morning, of the spiritual body, the church, is exclusively invested in its only reliable source from which it has been perfectly created. And it is void of any flaws, the body of Christ. It is susceptible to the interruption of the flow of life that can weaken the members. And we should take comfort in that.
Yes.
Amen. Our vitality and our strength and our health depends upon the head. As long as nothing happens to the head, amen, all the members of the body are okay. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thus there is no sense or degree of efficiency that could qualitatively be expressed in terms of the bare necessities as its efficiency is invested again in the Creator, in the Maker, the Head. Amen. Our efficiency rating in the body of Christ, I mean that our worth is always assigned to what? The Head, amen, and the source of our strength and the source of our lives and the source of our being and our existence. It is always focused on the head. God did not place us, amen, into a situation where there is any a member whose own ability individual worth and value becomes the basis of assessment. Amen. Now, what you are to God and how valuable you are to God is based upon how valuable Jesus is to it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In this view, we focus, as we move into another avenue this morning, we focus on the head, Jesus Christ, who he is indeed. Because many do not know who Jesus is. To correctly assess this, we know that he is God. He is God as testified to by the fact that he, according to Colossians 1:19, he, God, was pleased for all the fullness to dwell in him, Christ.
Yeah.
Now it is necessary, as I ask you to turn Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, for us to go into the essence this morning as we look closely and follow the Word of God, because we need to know and understand who Jesus is.
Right.
Most, when you speak about Jesus, they think about the one who fed the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the one who healed the leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
They think about the one who came up out of the ship as the storm raged and said, "Peace be still," and the wind obeyed. And even we think of the one who displayedly and manifestly hung and died upon Calvary. All of these things are good. But to really understand who Jesus is, you have to follow the dictates and the directives. As Paul writes in the second chapter of Corinthians, and verse 5, and he says that we do not know him as they have known him. In other words, those who have known him in the flesh, in the prior time and in prior ages, had the experience and the testimony of the lowly Nazarene who walked the dusty shores, who basically dwelt among his people as God with them. Amen. For those of us whom God from eternity has placed into the position of sons, as members of his body, of which he is the head, causes us, and it should cause us, to look at Jesus in a different light, not in a natural sense, but in a spiritual sense. So he is more than the healer, and he is more, than the natural, man who was God, who raised Lazarus from the dead. He was more. Can you say more this morning? He was more than the one, hallelujah, who cast the demons out of the man that went into the swine. He is more. Can you say more? Who was born of a virgin, he is more. Can you say more? Hallelujah. Of the one who is the prophet, he is more. Can you say more? Of the one who is the Messiah. For the Messiah is the deliverer of Israel. So the question is, who is he? All right, let's go into Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Everybody got to say amen. And in the sense of this, which we have conveyed unto you, concerning the importance of the head, of the body, and our worth and value to God, based upon who he is. Amen. We very slowly and methodically looked into the essence of what is written here. As we look at these verses of Scripture in great detail, they testify what the essence of Christ entails. Here we begin with Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Ask Elder to read that from the King James Version.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the image of the invisible God,
mm-hmm.
the firstborn of every creature.
All right, it reads, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now we go to the Greek text. As I've said, to really get the essence of what the exegetical conveyance and contents and cogitation of the Word of God, amen, is transferred to us by the Holy Spirit, we go to the original manuscripts in the Greek. Hear the translation from the Greek. Are you with me this morning? Reads, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? And this verse gives two important facts concerning who Jesus is. First, he is the image of God, who is invisible to the eyes of men. Here, I'm going to a little grammar here, and we're going to have to do it in order to bring out. We have the Greek phrase, os estin, ikon to theou, to And here, basically, you have the Greek word that I really want us to focus on this morning is aorato. Aorato. Amen. Basically, you are speaking about the word invisible. 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 When we think of something invisible, we think of something that's not there. Which is a misnomer. We think of something almost that doesn't exist. If it exists, it is not existing from the standpoint of our comprehension. What I want you to do is listen to the literal rendered, it might not be the best English structure, but what is literally rendered is, who is the image of God the invisible? Who is the image of God the invisible? Here it conveys the fact that he is not comprehensible in the physical and natural sphere or the physical and natural sense. Again, he is not, and here we're not saying, well, God is this and Jesus is this. Because in our minds, we're assigned that to God, but we don't assign that to Jesus. As soon as we say Jesus, we think of the Nazarene. And our gospel teaches us that we don't think of him like that no more. Even though they have thought of him like that in the past, we don't think of him like that. Who is Jesus? Amen. He is the God, the image of the God invisible. Oh my God. Amen. I can see from your faces you don't quite get what we're saying here. Follow me here. Again, get out of the sphere of your natural thinking, for this is not comprehensible in the physical or natural sense. Here, the Greek noun, ikon, rendered image. It is in the nominative case, that is the subject. The image is the subject. It denotes and it connotes the likeness, the replica of the expression thereof. This is why you can't separate the Godhead.
Come on here.
Lord,
come on here.
Yeah. You will never get it. If the essence of Jesus is any of those things that are documented and testified to in the synoptic gospels, he is more than that. Paul said, we don't know him, we don't look upon him in that manner. So when we look at the head of the body, we are not speaking of that which is physical, we are speaking of that which is spiritual.
The image.
For corroboration, I want you to hold this and turn with me to John 1:18. This is for corroboration. Now, John was given a revelation that the other writers were not given. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you find information in here concerning the essence of who Christ is, even though it is not as crystal clear spiritually as what is given in our gospel. But it is a good corroborator. Ellen, I want you to read. Oh my God. I tell you what. Just read the 18th verse.
John chapter 1, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
No man has seen God.
You see that? Go ahead, I'm sorry, reading.
At any time.
Okay, now that throws a lot of people. That messes a lot of people up when it comes to Jesus. And this is what make them view Jesus and God for being different, because they said, men saw Jesus. And here Paul is saying, not the manifestation of what is depicted as the one, amen, who lived among men. He's more than that. He said, well, men have seen Jesus. Well, I understand. And this is why it is so important that we do not misconstrue and misunderstand the Godhead singular. It messes a lot of people up.
Yeah.
It messed Thomas up. I think I'm getting ahead of myself.
Uh-oh.
All right. Finish read that.
No man has seen God at any time.
Mm-hmm.
The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
All right. It is scriptures like this that messed them up. Now here's the problem. You want to look at God the Father in the spiritual realm. You will look at Jesus the Son in the physical realm. And now, once you go natural, spiritual, or physical, spiritual, you automatically divided. I'm going to take my time here, and then we'll really get into this next week. Here, let's look at the Greek word, the Greek phrase here. It is a monounis theos o eos. Now, it is rendered the only begotten, and here we have problems with the text of the different manuscripts. For some of them, of which the Textus Receptus and the majority text reads Son, when the critical text read God. I don't see any problems there. Because when you say God, you're saying God. When you say Son, you're saying God.
Mm-hmm.
It's no difference.
Yeah.
The only begotten God, or the only begotten Son. Kipon to Pathos, which is rendered who is on or who is in the bosom of the Father. He said, now that's really messed up. No, it's not. Keep reading. It reads Ekinos as the Yisatos, which is rendered he
manifested. That's the key. That's the key. That's the key. What we have to realize is that the sphere, in the sphere of time, in the decree of God, there are things that He has actualized, for He has actualized all things that are displayed for testimony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, Jesus is the expression of God for manifestation purposes. But He's still God. Follow me now. He is in the bosom of the Father. In other words, He is Jesus, is God, but there's only one God, for there's only one Godhead. There's only one intelligent center. Amen. For the purpose of manifestation, He, amen, was manifested. Manifested in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But I beg you to realize that there's a difference between actuation and manifestation.
Yeah.
The manifestation is only the testimony of the actuation. Jesus died. He suffered. He paid the price of your sins, actuation-wise, in eternity.
Yes.
Jesus, He died. He suffered. He hung on the cross. Hallelujah. Manifestation-wise. So, the depiction of Jesus on Calvary was just a manifestation of that which He did in eternity, and the manifestation of the Son in the essence of time, amen, is the expression of what the Godhead has decreed in eternity.
Glory to God. Praise it,
Amen. Oh, mixed up.
Thank God.
It messed up. Let's go back to our gospel. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going very slowly with this, and I'll be back. Amen. And like I say, everything that we preach and teach is in writing. And if you got something, you bring it on, but do it in writing. You got ours in writing. You put yours in writing. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone that listens to this on the internet, you're certainly free, amen, to send it to us. Amen. And if we're wrong, straighten us out. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Everybody got to say amen? All right, read that.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
In whom the God to them.
Now, you're going to see that image of God. Likeness. Replica.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. But it's stronger than that. Amen. It is a likeness in the sense of that which his assignment is,
mm-hmm,
and is, as it relates to the manifestation of God's decree. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and 7. And you will see this several times. Amen. Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right, read a read.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God,
mm-hmm.
But the woman is the glory of the man.
All right. Now, that image basically here, it is as we identify with the body of Christ. And I don't have time to really get into this. You'd have to go up and grab the context and pull this all into one. But the conveyance is that the elect, as a new creation in Christ, was created in God's image. And this is why we're focusing on the head. Remember, the body and the members of the body, their worth and value is inextricably tied to the head. Mm-hmm. Amen. We are what we are because of who Jesus is. And what Jesus' value is to God becomes our value. Amen. This is why it is the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed unto us, that causes us to be holy, to be sanctified, to be beloved. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And the essence of our daily walk is basically that our minds are renewed and dominated by the knowledge of this image of God and of Christ. Amen. That's God's ultimate purpose for us is to the end that we might mirror in conduct the perfect mature image of Christ, who is the very image of God. And this really, really gets deep here. Hence, Christ is the image and manifestation of the invisible God. I said it again. Because when we say invisible God, many of us think Father. Christ is the image and the manifestation of the invisible God. In other words, you point straight to the Godhead.
Yeah.
Christ is the image and manifestation of the invisible God, as certified by the testimony of our Lord in John 14:9. I want you to turn to that. I know that this is antithetical. And many try to intimidate by saying that if you don't believe in the Trinity, you're teaching, you're a heretic. I mean, who cares? What does the Word of God teach? Just because some big wigs met together, the Council of Nicene in 325, and decreed the so-called Trinity, doesn't make it truthful. No matter who, if the majority of the church world teaches, that doesn't make it true. In fact, in the Nicene Council 325, if you read that, they said that in that he was three distinct essence, and they said he was three distinct. That there were three. And they had distinct attributes. And they were beat up so bad about it, they came back and changed it. So a Trinitarian today would say, three persons in one essence. What are you saying? All right, you got that? John 14:9. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, read it.
John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou
well,
not known?
Well, let's back up, because to get there. back up and let's contextualize. Being a minister here, I'll let you back up and get the context.
Okay.
Tell us where you started to read.
St. John chapter 14, begin with verse 6.
All right, read.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us.
And he said to him,
Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me has seen the Father.
From the Greek it reads, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. That messes a lot of folk up. Jesus wasn't talking about those who have seen the physical Jesus. Because when you see the physical Jesus, if the count is right, you saw a man. And many of them, that's all they saw. And most of them, that's all they saw. And I suspect that's even what the disciples, that's the extent of what the disciples saw. Notice, I'm going to close this morning, but you have a past completed action. Not those who see me, but those who have seen me, those who have known me, and those who have comprehended me, and at some point, he breathed upon them and opened the scriptures, and when they saw the scriptures, they saw who he was. And from the 4th century on up, they've hammered this Trinity thing to our skulls. And most of us have bought it, lock, stock, and barrel. But there's only one Godhead. The second fact, which we'll get into next week, and many do not understand this expression, the firstborn of all creation. The firstborn of all creation. They looked at Jesus like he was crazy. He was talking about Abraham, and he said, you're not even 30 years old. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He wasn't talking about a few years before Abraham born, he was born. And amen. He was before Adam. He was before before all time. He was before everything because he pre-existed. And he pre-existed because he's God. He's self-existence. Amen. I'm going to cut this off this morning. We'll deal with this next week. But Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Not a God, he is God. He is the expression of the Godhead.
Yeah, yeah.
And see, here's the problem. The problem occurs for those, and you get all mixed up, basically, because there are some who try to basically focus on Jesus and separate him from God. And this is what they call the modalism, and they, of course, the Trinitarians will come up with all kind of terms and start using slogans, and that's the way to try to isolate someone and discredit them. And I agree. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And God the Father. He They said, well, then they got to be different if God, and what really just, if those who call themselves dispensationalism, they run to the Gospels. And when Jesus is on earth being baptized and said, the Father's from heaven speaking to, now you got everything in the time. And all of this is testimony and manifestation. And we'll deal with that next week. Exegeted the correct way, grammatically, historically, and contextually. Let's get together and cut off all this nonsense. Jesus is God. There's only one Godhead. And I have no problem with God the Father because He is God the Father. I have no problem with God the Son because He, the same He, is God the Son. And I have no problem with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit because He, God, is the Holy Spirit. So we have no problem saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as long as you say God, Godhead, one. And you're running problems if you try to go either way with this. If you seek to separate them as far as the expressions, you got problems. If you seek to amalgamate them and not take into account the expressions, you still have problems. Why can't God be wherever God wants to be? And He is everything He needs to be to carry out His decrees.
Yes.
And if He needs to express Himself as the Son to be the head of the body of that which you are a part of, thank Him for it, glorify Him. But by all means, don't try to demote Him and make Him less than the God He is. Because if Jesus is not God, you're still in your sins. You're a sinner this morning. If Jesus is not God, you're lost. If Jesus is not God, you're not acceptable to Him. I mean to God. And God could not be pleased with anything that, oh my God, that is less than Himself.
Yeah.
If Jesus is not God, we might as well pack up. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry. If tomorrow we die and it's all over. If Jesus is not God. Jesus is not God, we're wasting our time here this morning. Hallelujah. Might as well get on out there and do what the rest of the world is doing. And get all you can and can all you get as long as you can. Amen. As long as it lasts. And that's all it's about if Jesus is not God. If Jesus is not God, we're all men amongst men miserable and pitiful. If Jesus is not God. If Jesus is not God, you're not justified. If Jesus is not God, you're not sanctified. If, ooh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
All of these glorious blessings we talk about. So where did they come from? Somebody said it came from God the Father. Said, no, they come from God the Son. They said, no, they come by the Holy Spirit. I said, no, they come from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The key is God. All right, we take this up next week. God bless you.